The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be on your guard, stay awake, because you never know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He has gone from home and left his servants in charge, each with his own task, and he has told the doorkeeper to stay awake. So stay awake, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming, evening, midnight, cockcrow, dawn. If he comes unexpectedly, he must not find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm always reminded on Advent Sunday of a parishioner in Weymouth, a very loyal, faithful Catholic lady, amid a lot of opposition both at home and work and in the family, and who after maybe a particularly bad week or a very depressing list of news items would say, "Oh, come on, Gabriel, blow your trumpet and end it all for us." Well, he did one day for her. She now rejoices on the eternal shore. But I was reminded of that because particularly a line in that first reading we had, "Oh, that you would tear the heavens open and come down. Come, Lord, and save us. Redeem us. Do not delay." These are similar words that we pray in the Advent season. And they've got little to do, in a sense, with all the razzmatazz that goes to make up Christmas in the next few weeks. Instead, they're actually heartfelt pleas and petitions speaking to a situation in today's world. Come, Lord, save us, redeem us. That first reading spoke of the Redeemer being an ancient name for God. And in this Advent of 2014, because each year brings always something different and new, there's a more urgency, in a sense, of the need of a Redeemer, the God who comes in to save us, because it is indeed a world of woes. But Advent's the reminder that he comes and always has and does and will. He came, his first coming at Christmas, which we celebrate the incarnation of the Word made flesh each year. We look to his coming at the end of time, and we say that in every Mass, "Till you come again." And obviously, he comes and is with us, as Vatican II always taught us. He's here in the gathered community, he's here in the Word, he's here, of course, particularly in the bread and the wine that become his own body and his blood. He's daily with us in the Mass. He never actually leaves us. But the crisis the world faces this year, most clearly evident from what was the cradles of civilization, really, the land of Iraq, Syria, the Holy Land, Lebanon. Some of the most ancient cities in the world are there. And it reminds us how urgent and necessary is our journey once again to Bethlehem. It was Pope Benedict Emeritus that reminded us that not violence that redeems, but love. Not violence, but love. And yet we're seeing violence and threats all around the world. That's overshadowing today all our world. But there's a prophetic sign, in a sense, where it comes from. Iraq was Babylon, was Mesopotamia. Of course, it was the location of the Garden of Eden. It was Adam and Eve cast out of the Garden of Eden. In a sense, right back in history, there it was. And that place has become the theatre of war that overshadows, as I say, our whole world. It's also where the Tower of Babel was built, when the people disobeyed God and wanted to build a name for themselves. And today again, humanity is wanting to rise above God and expunge him and his laws from our minds. But at the same time, biblical Iraq, Babylon, is the land of promise, because from one of its ancient cities was born Abraham, from Ur, the Chaldees, Ur, right there, that Pope St. John Paul II wanted to visit in 2000, and because of all the situation, he wasn't able to go there. But that's where Abraham comes from. Abraham, our father in faith, born there, but called by God. And called by God to travel round that part of that early civilization, the Fertile Crescent, to the Holy Land. And then Nineveh. But today, they call it Mosul. But we've heard of it. It's been in our news. That's where Nineveh was, where Jonah, the prophet, was sent to proclaim repentance, which we shall hear of John the Baptist next week, repentance, and brought about that miraculous conversion of the whole city. And then the prophet Daniel, that figures in some of the weekday readings leading up towards Advent, last few weeks, he once lived in exile in Babylon. Of course, the people of Israel were sent into exile into Babylon, which was close to what is the capital today, Baghdad, where he had a vision of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, all that saying, that Advent shows us that God isn't some remote being who plays no significant role in our lives or ever has done, but that actually God is near and always with his people, because he became man. He became one of us. The incarnation of God implies that, and implies also a transformation. Again, one of the late Advent, early Christmas hymns, "Come thou, Redeemer of the earth, and manifest thy virgin birth." And that's what we need yet again, that Christ child born in our hearts, which we celebrate, obviously, over Christmas, but the Christ who's always with us. "Come thou, Redeemer, our Lord, come and save us." And that means our lives need to be conformed to his will. And his second coming alerts us at the end of time, awakening our conscience. That stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. Don't be found sleeping when he comes, whether it's the midnight and the cockcrow, in the dawn, through the middle of the, whenever it is, stay awake. We never know. Some of you remind me, I'm often saying that. Well, we never know. We don't. We do not. We think we might, and we might try to put it off, but we don't. We never know. And the Lord reminds us of that. We should always be ready to welcome him into our hearts. And Advent comes as that sort of wake-up call. So that's why he said it in that short bit of the gospel. Three times, stay awake. One more time, don't be asleep. Which is the opposite, obviously. But our conscience is saying to us, if we are to try and sort of change our lives to be his will, then it's about truth. And in a way, I feel we know we've got the answer to the problems, wherever they are. Always remember that saying, there is an answer to every problem, and it's usually the wrong one. But it isn't. There is an answer to every problem, and it's actually the incarnation, or it's Jesus. Jesus is that. But you see, for so many, and particularly in that cradle of civilization, they, one side or another, have no time or reject what we know, the coming of the Messiah. Islam, of course, does respect Jesus as a prophet, but not as the prophet we know in the same way. But they still look for his coming at the end of time. Judaism, of course, has not recognize the Messiah when he came. And I say the answer is right there. And Pope Francis is ever reminding them in different ways of the truth of all that, because it is the truth. And one of the, again, a carol would sing, is this is the truth sent from above, the truth of God, the God of love. And that is what redeems us. So God is always active and acting with his people. Let's use this Advent time, with all its busyness, to open our hearts afresh to that Advent call, preparing for the Son of Man who comes for us all, come there, Redeemer of the earth, and who desires to lead all of us to our true home, which is with the Father.